JT, live in Vegas.
The Knights are going to the Stanley Cup Final.
If they win the Stanley Cup, it becomes one of the top four sports stories of all time.
Shot, score!
Let me repeat.
The Knights are going to the Stanley Cup Final.
If the Golden Knights win the Stanley Cup, it becomes the biggest sports story of your life.
We just believe in ourselves, and that's been the key to this thing.
They were cast off. They were unprotected players.
You know, we call ourselves the Golden Misfits for a reason.
Kick save! Oh, Flurry, the reflexes!
I am in the belly of the beast of Las Vegas, Nevada. Hockey fans, take control of this moment.
You know, we're not done yet.
And now, live from Las Vegas, here's JT the Brick.
Oh, wow. Oh, we're back. JT with you, coming off the Memorial Day weekend. It's not a holiday. It's about Memorial Day and all the servicemen and women of the past who put their lives first for this country. If you had a great member of your family who was lost or someone that you care about, I hope you were able to reflect over the holiday weekend, and I hope you're doing well today. And I am ready to roll. I'm getting bounced around this building with all the hockey. 5 o'clock starts mean. Pre-game starts during this hour. We got games on the East Coast next week. But, man, I wasn't the first to predict this. I wasn't the first. But I was here early on explaining to you, once this team was legit, once we saw a good look at this team beating the best teams in hockey, some of the greatest organizations in the history of this sport, that something was real here in Las Vegas, and this could develop into a story of our lifetime. And now it is. It's already there. We are in the arena. We are in the Roman Coliseum back in the day. We are in the conversation, we, the city of Las Vegas, for having the biggest hockey story of all time. Let me stop you there. Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, Gordy bleeping Howe, where Bobby Orr, as I sit across from Bobby Machado running the show. The greatest players, the greatest stories, the greatest moments in a sport called NHL hockey, and we here in Vegas have a chance to capture the biggest one ever. Not making that up, three away. So how do you treat this now? I'm bouncing up in the studio. I treat this like an on-air celebration every day because it's here, it's going to last, and I never dreamed that we'd be talking hockey into June. This is what they don't get. I was up at 6 in the morning, 9 o'clock Eastern, to go on WABC in New York, the Bernie and Sid show. They took over for Imus in the morning. I did 15 minutes on in New York City on this today because they're sitting back and they're finally getting it. Right, they're finally getting it, courtesy of the monologue here brought to you by Golden Entertainment. What a job PT's has done. Have you stopped into a PT's throughout the playoff run? They have all these food and drink specials. The combination of their passion and their service and all the taverns and the Stratosphere and Sierra Gold and obviously Sean Patrick's and the job that they are doing. You want to talk about a company that embraced this and saw this coming? The ability for fans who can't get in to go into a PT's. Way to go to the entire Golden Entertainment team. Obviously the backbone of this show. But back to where we are. What has to happen? The phone should be ringing now. Because we are pretending that we're a hockey town that understands talk radio. We're ahead of every show 10 minutes, dialing and getting in at 876-1340. So here's where we're at. Up 1-0. I don't think they should have won that game last night. Fleury gave up 4 goals. That doesn't happen. I thought the physicality of the Capitals were the real deal. If the Capitals are going to win a game in this series, it should have been game 1. And I think, you know, I'm going to game 5. Maybe you could be going to game 7 if it goes that far. But this is an opportunity right now. This is the moment where you must do what you do in sports if you're a great team. You have got to step on the throat of the opponent. Now, I wouldn't do that in hockey because they have blades on their boots. So that would not be the right sport to do it. But you know where I am. Washington wants a fist fight. Washington wants a fight. They want penalty minutes in game 2. They want Marchessault and everybody to react to the hit. They want everybody to be on edge in the first 10 minutes of the game 2 coming up next Wednesday. Don't take the bait. Don't go near it. Don't do it. You're a finesse team. You're a fast team with some core principles. You can get physical. The Golden Knights can, but why play the game of the Capitals? Why play the game of the Kings? Why play the game of the Sharks or the Winnipeg Jets? Play your game in Vegas and take care of business. I'm fired up. I'm fired up because this one, I'm putting this one on my resume. After 22 years, I'm not a newbie. I don't need a resume to get a new job, but I'm putting this one on my resume. On the flagship station of the Vegas Golden Knights in the inaugural season. But as they taught me back in college when I was the president of my fraternity, don't count your kegs before they're tapped. You can't have a keg party and say, we have a 50-keg party tonight, but you only had 20 kegs. You can't count the ones that you didn't drink or sell. Don't start talking this garbage about a parade route. I had a buddy text me today, do you think the parade will be at night because of the strip and the lights? Or you think they'll do it during the day? I said, hang up the phone. You don't want to jinx it. But you want to have fun and you want to embrace it. You want to call radio shows like this one and sound off like you got a pair. If you got into the building last night, most of the world couldn't get in. How'd you get in? Were you out at Toshiba Plaza? Did you watch the game? I was in the backyard. My dad turned 80 on Thursday. My entire family flew in, 19 of us, for this staycation that we did out here in Vegas. And my nephews were in my backyard, and I took some video of the final goal, the open net goal, and my whole backyard celebrating on Memorial Day. It was incredible. I'm really enjoying the ride. We'll talk to Frank Harnish. Frank's got a great story going, too, as he's part of the pre and post. And then Dan Duva, we'll have him on earlier. And then we're going to replay it on the national show later tonight with his schedule, so I'm excited to talk to him. Let's get to the early start and what happened in game one of the Stanley Cup final, where I thought it was important in this game to score first, and the Knights did.
Still in the offensive end, Howlett tips it along to the right point. Miller, he winds, he shoots, he scores! Colin Miller, it's a power play goal, and the Knights take a 1-0 lead in game one.
As they say in Boston, that was a wicked slap shot. And again, wasn't deflected. So they get a 1-0 lead, but then they give it up, and they're down 2-1 in the game. We've been talking about Wild Bill Carlson and what he's done all year long. Carlson off the boards, being right where he needs to be in front of the net to get a rebound off the boards.
Finds Carlson into the zone, 2-on-2. He shoots wide right. Carlson the rebound in the right circle. Centers, left side, Smith shoots, tip wide, rebound in front, score! Another tie game. 1:41 to go in the first. 2-2 tie. William Carlson.
What a game. Now we're talking four goals in the first period. Okay, we're talking about a game that's going to be, I think, playing in the favor of Vegas. I like Vegas if it's going to be a game where you score over three or four goals because they have goal scorers who are able to do it. Give credit to Washington. I thought Washington was really good. They weren't letting up the whole game.
Up top in the high slot, John Carlson. Feet to the left, they score! Fleury out of his crease, couldn't come back to cover in time, and the Capitals tie it 3-3.
So there's a 3-3 tie. You just couldn't shake this team, and then the Capitals come back. Wilson, this was a big moment where I think Washington thought they were controlling the game.
Capitals keep it in the zone, and a shot stopped by Fleury. Rattles around in front. It's in! Capitals take the lead 4-3.
That hurt. At that point in time, I wouldn't have been surprised if Vegas lost the game 4-3. Right there, you know, Fleury's given up goal after goal after goal, and you're wondering, is this just not their night? But once again, Reeves, who was basically an afterthought, a guy who could fight, a big guy, a strong guy, kind of an enforcer, what was he going to be able to do in this game? He comes through with another monster moment in his career.
Theodore gets it back, slides to the high slot. Englund ships it wide right. No six centers off the side of the net. Another try, score! It's Ryan Reeves, and it's a tie game, 4-4. Reeves, two goals in two games. His first two in a Vegas uniform.
Incredible what he's meant so far for this team in the closeout game against the Winnipeg Jets and getting a critical goal. Are you kidding me? That is a monster goal. And Vegas then starting to take control. Nosek was the story late in the game.
Stays in the zone for Theodore. He's got some room on the left side. He centers. Right side score! On cue, Tomas Nosek! 5-4 Vegas!
That was it. So that's a game winner to get it done. And now everybody in the sports book is looking for the cover, right? Everybody wants to cover the goal and a half. And you usually get that. When you have an open net, there's going to be an opportunity. And they were swarming. I mean, Ovechkin's out there. They are swarming to try to get one more goal. But then the puck gets loose.
That's Backstrom on the right wing side. Looks down low. Defending at the goal line. It's Belmar. Back up top of Ovechkin. Pass broken up. Nosek got the way. 8 seconds. It's out of the zone. With 6 seconds. Nosek has it. Toward the empty net. He scores. Nosek.
That's it. Vegas Golden Knights, Dan Duva on the call. They cover. I knew a guy who had the golden parlay ticket, the Warriors to cover and the Golden Knights to win and cover and all that. A lot of people going crazy if you played the golden parlay, the two-teamer, and had some money on that. So the Vegas Golden Knights go up 1-0. Again, show started 11 minutes ago. We got to get people going here. 876-1340 on what needs to happen. Preview game two before the voice of the Vegas Golden Knights. Preview the game at 876-1340. So what should happen in game two? You should see the best effort of the entire season by the Washington Capitals. Because if the Capitals go down 0-2, which should happen, there's going to be 0-2, five games left. They have to win 4 out of 5 to win the Stanley Cup. So you're going to get the best effort at all. Now the question becomes, how chippy does that game get? I love that type of topic when it comes to basketball or football. And how cheap is it going to get? How big of a role are the refs going to play in this game? What could actually happen in this game that could be cause for concern for the home team, the Vegas Golden Knights? And I think it's going to be the physicality of Washington and Washington coming out early with a lot of hard checking. And I think they're going to look to get Vegas to retaliate. And we've been doing this in the playoffs for well over a month. And that was the game plan of LA. It was definitely the game plan of San Jose, which was the bigger and more physical team. How do you get Vegas out of their zone where they're no longer a speed team and they want to check back and they want to force the action and they want to be physical? It's too late. There's only 3 games left to win the Stanley Cup. Don't come out of your game and play a different style of hockey. Play with speed, be really fast in the neutral zone, and then swarm the net and put pucks on net. You have a goaltender who's not that good. He's good, he's in the Stanley Cup final, but he's not at the level of Fleury. So take advantage of that. Go out and have a really quick start again, and then hope. I mean, how do you think the Washington Capitals are going to feel if they get on the plane? If they get on the plane and they're going home down 0-2, I mean, Ovechkin's going to be playing his blank off because it's his legacy. But as I said all weekend long to my family, how great would it be if Ovechkin's on some lake this summer in Russia and he's, what do you fish for in Russia? Whatever the fish is on the lake. And all of a sudden someone, one of his fishing buddies looks at him and goes, really? You came this far? You never could get here and you lost to an expansion team? I mean, no one will forget that. You got an opportunity to put this team down. Let's put them down together on the flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Radio. Nikki, thanks for holding and checking in. You're on the flagship. What do you got?
Hey, dude, JT, you're great, man. Let me tell you something. I'm a long-time hockey fan. I don't understand, but I'm a Knights fan. Let me tell you. Ovechkin, he could go fishing for old shoes. He's a loser. He will never be like a guy like anyone, like say Frottier or Borsi, this guy, he's a loser.
Come on, show some respect. Hey, Nikki, show some respect, all right? This guy's one of the greatest players of all time. His stats are unbelievable. He's an assassin in regards to the wrist shot and the slap shot. He's in the Stanley Cup Finals, and you're calling him a loser? I mean, it's one game. Give Ovechkin a little bit respect as they're in town here. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer.
How about, should I give Mr. Tom Wilson respect? Let me tell you something. He's lucky that they're not going to retaliate because Mr. Reeves put him away already. They'll put him away again.
Thanks, my fellow Islander fan. But I can no longer say that anymore. I'm no longer an Islander fan. I gave up my allegiance to my hometown team for a inaugural expansion team. And I'm happy that I think I've been the only one in this market who said that the entire year. You got one chance. I'm even going to give Bobby everybody a lifeline. I'm going to do everybody a favor here tonight. And this would be a good phone call topic conversation over the next week. You got 3 more games to say goodbye to the LA Kings for life. To say goodbye to the Sharks or some of these Canadian teams for life. You got 3 more games to do it. We will let you in through the Lotus back door, and we will let you become a Vegas Golden Knight fan. But if you're on the fence now, you've lost your mind. Is your allegiance that important? to your hometown team, and I'm talking to the Blackhawk fans. Bobby's a Bruins fan. I get it. I get it. It's a tough decision. You got three more games to do it. Because if you're one of those fans next year who is a Bruins fan or a Red Wing fan and you're wearing your sweater to the game, but then after your team leaves, you put back your Vegas Golden Knight sweater on, oh, then look in the mirror, man. I don't have to tell you what you are. You got a couple more games to do it. Do the right thing. 876-1340. Adrian, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I live in Vegas, been a Golden Knights fan my whole life. That yeah. game
for one that game, for 11 months night, you've been a Vegas Golden Knights fan, but I get it. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that game last night, amazing. What a way to start off this Stanley Cup, and for Vegas, the pregame show that they do, they made it a show. So the whole game was a show. Now, the Capitals, they blew it. That was a game that they had to win.
Absolutely.
You're not, if they lose game two, you're not beating Marc-Andre Fleury 4 out of 5 times. I'm sorry, you're not. So this is a must-win game for the Capitals, and as a Knights fan, I'm feeling pretty good, man. This is great for the city.
Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. It is great for the city. And I also believe in conspiracy theories, and if you've listened to me throughout my career, I believe that the refs will get involved from time to time in sports. And you gotta think in Vegas here as a season ticket holder, if you got a ticket to the game, you got to think that the refs are going to call a tighter game against Vegas. The NHL needs this to go 6-7 games. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going up against the NBA Finals of LeBron and the Warriors. That's going to be the big winner. So what has to happen now here is if the series can go 6 or 7, it would be pretty impressive here for the NHL. Oh, and Gary Bettman, I don't know if he's listening now. He's probably in a limo somewhere, maybe out at Red Rock, or you know, going somewhere out to late Las Vegas. But I am not a fan of Gary Bettman, because I think that Gary Bettman has blown his commissionership on television contracts and no exposure. If it wasn't for the Vegas Golden Knights, you think we'd be talking about this sport on the cover of USA Today today? You think we'd be talking about it leading on SportsCenter? Let's just say for the sake of conversation that it was Winnipeg versus Tampa. Hockey'd be dead. I'm talking D-E-A-D, done. They'd be talking about it in two markets, and maybe Buffalo and a couple in Detroit where they love hockey. We are doing the collective hockey world a favor. Mr. Foley deserves the credit by having this unique story. It's never going to happen again. Never. You will never see anything like this again. Jonathan, you're up next. Flagship of the hey. Vegas Golden Knights. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Love your show. Hey, listen, also, I want to just last night's game was amazing. But also I was calling, you know, because I was hearing you about, you know, being loyal to your team and all. And, you know, like, I have all the respect for the Vegas Golden Knights, but, you know, I'm a L.A. Kings fan. And, yeah, I'm a resident here in Vegas, but at the same time, I'm a firm believer being loyal to your team no matter what.
Well, but then again, I appreciate that. Well, no, keep them. I appreciate that. So who's your team?
Well, I'm a Kings fan, and I grew
okay,
up
so just,
you know,
just,
in
but,
San Diego.
Good, so you can tell me, and I respect your decision. I got a lot of friends in your boat. You're a Kings fan, so you have an opportunity to give up the Kings in the next week for this team and make this your team. Why wouldn't you do it?
I mean, because I have to, you know, be loyal. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I like the hype, you know, around the city, but, like, at the same time, I mean, if I'm going to, like, give up my team just because everybody else is doing it,
I don't
feel like, in my personal opinion, in my morals as a sports fan, not just a hockey fan, but also as a sports fan, it just, in me, it doesn't feel right to do that.
But let me stop you for a second. It's an expansion team, so you could do it easily because you're not getting on a bandwagon. You're getting on your team that's in your town, and you have an excuse because they're brand new. If this was a team from Winnipeg or a team that moved from Atlanta, I would agree with you. I wouldn't have left the Islanders if this was a team that moved from Arizona or from Florida, but it was easy for me to cut the cord because it's brand new, and I give you credit, but you don't think you're going to jump on the bandwagon 3 or 4 years from now or after a Stanley Cup.
Oh, no, of course
good.
Not. Of course
okay.
Not.
Well, I appreciate the call. That's a good phone call. I'm not saying everybody has to do what I do. I'm a knucklehead behind a microphone. But you know, it's just, I think I'm making a lot of sense when I talk about this issue. I mean, you get a chance to do this. You don't have another chance to do it. You'd look foolish a year from now if you showed up at a Golden Knights game as a new fan and you weren't able to cut the cord with your team during the expansion year. That's the way I look at it. Michael, wrapping up this first block, brought to you by Golden Entertainment. Go ahead, Michael.
You know, I think everybody is wrong when they say that Ryan Reaves might try to retaliate for last night's hit on Marceau.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we played the game we have been playing, like skate faster, we don't need to retaliate and we'll still win the game.
Absolutely. I think the only way you could lose the game is by retaliating and going in the penalty box and giving Ovechkin an opportunity to be on the power play. And that's what my knowledge of the sport and conspiracies combined tell me what's going to happen in Game 2. Remember this. In Game 2, Vegas will be in the penalty box on a couple of questionable calls because the refs are going to do what the refs do. It's home. They're going to put Vegas in the penalty box, and they're going to give Ovechkin a power play or two. And if they take advantage of it, we could be at 1-1 heading back to the nation's capital. And if it is 1-1 heading back to the nation's capital, I think we're going 7 games. If it's 0-2 going back to the nation's capital, I can promise you that this team is not going to beat Fleury 4 out of 5. It will not happen. When we come back, we'll talk to Frank Harnisch, host of the Pre and the Post and the Insider Show. He's had an up-close look at all of this, and it is one of the greatest stories in the history of Vegas. Oh, and by the way, it is in the top 2-3 ever. I think if they win the Cup, you'll rank it number 1, or will you rank it behind the Rebels and Tark? That's something for another day. We're talking Game 2 coming up of the Stanley Cup Final.
Seconds tick off. Game 1 in the books. Knights win it 6-4. Tomáš Nosek, the game-winning goal.
Yes, Dan Duva, who will join us here in a little bit. JT, back with you, courtesy of Golden Entertainment. You're home with all these PTs. Pull over to any PTs in the Valley and watch what they're doing for the Stanley Cup Final. Frank Harnisch, kind enough to join us. Host of the Insider Show and obviously Pre and Post. And again, we've had you on in the past and you're loving this opportunity. You're living this broadcasting dream. Walk me through Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final and what was different than the playoff games leading up to this.
Well, one of the things that was different was, I think, because it was Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals, they were coming off another long layoff, but they've done that a couple rounds because they've only lost 3 games in the entire playoffs, so people were kind of used to that. But you could tell that there was a different vibe in the air when you walked out to Toshiba Plaza right outside T-Mobile Arena and you saw 3 different stages set up there, and the excitement about Lil Jon getting ready to play a concert, and NBC booths all over the place doing different things, and you knew that this was on a different scale. And even getting the media credential on everything, we didn't go through the Golden Knights and through the normal chains and everything, because we had to go through things and get this okayed by people, and it was more of a chain of command. They didn't let the media in until 1 p.m. We tried to get in because we had an interview set up with NHL Network, and they told us, no, media can't get in, so they literally had to send their person out of the building. So it was a much bigger scale and a bigger vision for everything. And then when you saw all the people out there, I mean, when we break down after the second period and have to go over to the beer house for the post-game show, it was absolute insanity. I didn't think we were ever going to get through that mass of humanity to get over there. I thought the post game was going to be late. I know you got Dan Duva coming up. I was about to shoot Dan a text and say, you might want to go a little bit long with your section because we're not over there yet.
Did they play a poor game last night in your perspective?
I thought they played an up and down game. I thought they played an inconsistent game. They came out of the gates, and I thought they played well. They got that early goal with Colin Miller. I thought they were playing good, but there were lapses a little bit. I don't think the defense played as good in front of Marc-Andre Fleury as they have in the past. I don't think Fleury played his best game of the series as well, although he will say that, you know, that it's all on him, but the defenseman will say that it's on them as well, because this truly is a team. But what I did like about it was they once again showed that resiliency. They kept on fighting back. They never hung their heads. They didn't get down in the game. And when they were down in the game, they fought back. And again, then they get the final 3 goals to win it. So I think it's important that they now know that they can win a game when Fleury doesn't play his best game, and that they can also win a high-scoring game, because a lot of their games have been low-scoring shootout-type mm-hmm. games, and it all started in the series, certainly against the Kings, where they only give up 3 goals in 4 games. They gave up 4 goals last night. And they won.
Frank Harnison studio. Let's go to the Wilson hit on Marchessault and what happens. We've already had a few callers call in. People are tweeting about this in and around the hockey world. You want to retaliate with something like that. If that's someone in your division and you're going to see him 2 to 3 more times in the regular season, you know something's going to go down. Why would it go down or not go down in game two?
Well, it's not going to go down in game two because if you retaliate, then you penalize your own team. You have to pick your spots and do stuff like that. I mean, in the old days, it might have happened immediately or whatever. You know, if you tell a player 20, 30 years ago that a hit like that happened, they'll tell you it's just playoff hockey, it's the Stanley Cup Finals, it's just the way it is. But it is different rules and different things today. But I think this team is too veteran and too mature to do that. Remember when Ryan Reeves first joined the team, and after the first two games against the Kings, everybody were going, he's a goon, he's slapshot, he's this, that, and the other. Now he gets the loudest ovation at City National Arena where the Vegas Golden Knights practice, outside of Marc-Andre Fleury, because people love him in that. He's a guy, he wanted to throw down last night. He wanted to go after Tom Wilson, but he knows that you can't do that because you can't penalize your team. You have to pick your spots. There might be retaliation against Wilson at some point, but if it is, I think it'll be in a clinching game if they're up 3 or 4 goals at the end, and then somebody might drop the gloves. But right now, no matter how bad you want to get back at somebody, the team and winning is the most important thing. And if you don't get to punch him in the mouth, when you hoist that Stanley Cup, that hurts more than a punch in the mouth.
Frank Harnison studio. I'll ask this to Dan Duva coming up, but I wanted your assessment of this. Why didn't Ovechkin get off in game one? If you look at all of his shifts, what did Gerard Gallant preach to this team in preparation for this series that worked?
Well, one thing that I think that he preached to the team was, and he says it every single game, this team is the most relaxed team I've ever seen in my life. We're watching Marc-Andre Fleury today in practice, and guys are shooting pucks at him. He literally just tipped the goal over so they couldn't score any more goals on him or whatever. They're loose. They're having fun. They don't really feel that pressure, and it's because of watching Flower there. And I think one reason Ovechkin didn't get off, and I don't think he's going to admit this to you, I think Marc-Andre Fleury's in his head. He knows that this is the guy that beat him in Pittsburgh almost every time Washington was eliminated. Yeah, they beat Pittsburgh this year, but he still hasn't beat Marc-Andre Fleury. And they're in the finals. They have a chance to do something Alex Ovechkin's never done, that the team hasn't done in 20 years. I think they're nervous. I think Ovechkin himself was a little bit tight last night, and I think when he sees Flower, maybe he tries to be a little too fine or shoot something a little bit too perfect or whatever because he knows he hasn't beat him in the past. And you know JT as well as I do, watching sports our entire lives. When somebody has a mental edge on you, that's a huge thing. And I think Marc-Andre Fleury has a mental edge on Alex Ovechkin. Fleury's always laughing, smiling. He's rubbing goalposts. He's dancing out there. He was tweaking people's ears, for crying out loud, in the Winnipeg series with Blake Wheeler. He never shows that he's nervous or afraid or something. Ovechkin wants this so bad, and he's finally made it to the top of the mountain. He wants to plant his flag, but now he's wondering, am I going to get to?
Frank Harnish, as we wrap it up, courtesy of PTs. Stop off at all the PTs during the Stanley Cup Final. They are there to talk hockey and have a great time with you. Finally, from a fan perspective, we were talking about it before you came on, about the fans who have not addressed their loyalty situation. And I believe for fun, and I'm doing it for fun, you got to make up your mind in the next 3 days, the next 3 games, because you can't show up at this parade and then go back to being a Kings fan next year. That to me is gutless. It's just the ultimate definition of a bandwagon fan. If they win and they haven't won yet, but you're sitting at a parade with a Golden Knights hat and then another team comes in next year and you got their hat on, they're giving you, Mr. Foley is giving everybody the opportunity over the next week to buy all in. Do you think that there's some stragglers still left out there?
Oh, I think there are a few here and there. We still, there was one in this building who does one of our morning shows, who I'm not going to name by name, who said that she would not ever buy a jersey of the Golden Knights because she's a fan of another team. Now, I can respect that, but then at the same time, she's saying, go Knights, go. So, you know, you kind of have it both ways or whatever. I think there are some stragglers. And I never understood that when people said I have two teams or whatever. I've always had one team my whole life. But I have to tell you, I've been a Blackhawk fan my entire life. But covering this team and getting to know the guys, they have won me over. I do like them. I am now all in with this team.
Good.
And as I tell my friends back home and they're like, how did you abandon the Blackhawks? I'll always kind of root for the Blackhawks in the back of my mind. But as I told them, if the Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup, I get to watch my team on TV win the Cup. The Vegas Golden Knights do, I get to cover the Stanley Cup. And that's a pretty cool thing. And this is Vegas's team. Bill Foley insisted on that. And I think that's a big part of it as well. And we all know that people will jump on and off the bandwagons. They'll be there in that parade. And if the Vegas Golden Knights get off to a slow start next year, they're where their other team.
The more the merrier. I mean, that's it. But that's the type of DNA we have as sports fans that you like to at least question what people are doing. Tell us about the coverage coming up tomorrow for Game 2.
Well, tomorrow we're going to have the normal Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show from 2 to 3. Then T.C. Martin will be on. And then we'll be taking over. I guess you're taking the day off.
You're going to take money out of my pocket. So we're going to take money out of JT's pocket. I'm joking. I'm thrilled you could be on.
Let me tell you something. Lotus is taking money out of your pocket.
Oh, no doubt.
Frank gets nothing out of it. So, but I get to cover the team. We'll be going from 4 till 4:30 when the normal pregame starts. Then we'll do the pregame from 4:30 till a little after 5 because puck drop again tomorrow night.
Yeah, I like that.
Around 5:22 or so, a little bit later. So Dan Duva will take it off a little bit after that. So we'll do a little bit extended pregame show. But we'll go a little over an hour. Then we'll throw it over to Dan, who I know you have coming up next. And he's been
great.
A consummate professional. He does a great job all year long. Super knowledgeable. Knows the guys, loves the game, and
he's great.
One of the best things about this season is not only getting to cover this team and finally cover hockey in Las Vegas, but meeting the Dan Duvas, the Dave Goschers, the Shane Knighties, Eric Tosi, Sage Sammons, who I knew a little bit from UNLV, and that the people around, and then all the players themselves. I know it sounds like a cliche. Hockey players to me are the best athletes in the world. They're approachable, they're down to earth, they're friendly, mm-hmm. and they're actually really a bunch of nice guys, and that's why it's hard not to be won over by them.
It's great. You are living a dream. I've had a chance doing what you're doing with pre and post when the Raiders went to a Super Bowl and a couple of those AFC championship games, and it really is a memory of a lifetime. You think it's going to happen every other year or every 3 years. I think it will happen with this team because I think they have the foundation to go playoffs, playoffs, playoffs every year, but you don't know about the Cup because a lot of good teams, as you know, as we wrap it up, they don't come back. Some of them don't go back for 20, 30 years.
Yeah, well, the Washington Capitals haven't been there in 20 years. The Winnipeg Jets, who they just knocked out, have never been there, going way back to when they were the Jets, the Thrashers, and the Jets before that, way back to 79. So it's not always a given thing. I remember, I'm going to cross sports just for a second here. Remember the commercial way back when we were still young men, JT, mm-hmm. and Dan Marino and Joe Montana faced each other in the Super Bowl, and they went and bought a soda, and Joe said, "I'm buying." And at the end of the commercial, Dan turned around and flipped him a quarter or whatever it was and said, "I'm buying next year." Dan Marino never came back. You can't just assume you're going to be back, because if you do, well, you might be really disappointed.
Especially in this sport, with all due respect to the Warriors going back 4 in a row with LeBron, it's easier. It's a little bit easier with the talent being so much skewed. In hockey, everybody's kind of even. Everybody's talented. You need a little luck, and you need the ability to keep going. Keep having a good time. Thanks for doing this.
Absolutely, and I love listening to your show, and go Knights, go.
There you go. Frank Harness joining us. Check him out with all that extended coverage tomorrow. Hey, the all-new happy hour at PT starting June 1st. All craft beers, Blue Moon, and Stella are back into the 50% off inclusion, and all the new food offerings are coming up. They are wrapping their arms around the Stanley Cup Final. Golden Entertainment, the lead sponsor of this show. The voice of the Vegas Golden Knights, Dan Duva, is on deck.
Didn't have everybody going tonight the way we wanted them going, and it was a bit of a sloppy game, and we give up a lot of scoring chances, but we created a lot of scoring chances also. So I think next game is going to be tighter, and we'll be better, and I think they'll be better, and you know, we'll see what happens next game. But no, we got to be better. We'll be better.
Same Gerard Gallant, the ultimate soundbite. Calm, cool, always in the moment. JT, back with you on Fox Sports Radio. Game 1 is in the books. Game 2 upcoming. The voice of the Vegas Golden Knights, kind enough to join us again, Dan Duva. And Dan, living the dream again for you as a broadcaster. Before we get to the breakdown and the preview of Game 2, let's talk about for you what it was like to be in T-Mobile right after the opening, that unbelievable show that was put on, and then you get to the play-by-play.
Yeah, well, first off, thanks for having me. And, you know, once upon a time, Mike Emmerich gave me the advice to save your first tape. And I've got a tape from high school. So before I went over to T-Mobile Arena yesterday to call the Stanley Cup Final, I watched the third period in overtime of a high school hockey game I did 18 years ago. And it was a short-handed overtime winner for a guy named Chris Jaska. And I figured that would put things in perspective for me. It made me laugh and had some good memories, and then went in and called the Stanley Cup final. And if a 15-year-old Dan Duva could have imagined that, he would have been pretty pumped up.
It's incredible when you're living in the moment and you see this, but again, you have to turn around these goals so quickly. The importance, because it was a high-scoring game, but in your mind, Vegas getting that first goal last night.
You know, that's been the story so much of the season. They score early and often. A lot of times they have scored early and not allowed an opponent back into a game. This was one that saw the Capitals take the lead back a couple of times. Four lead changes, that's never happened in the Stanley Cup final game ever. So to see that the Golden Knights withstood those pushbacks from the Capitals and then the resilience themselves, we saw that a lot with the Winnipeg series. The Knights would build the lead, Jets would tie it up, the Knights would take the lead right back. The swings of momentum were more dramatic in Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final, and you've heard Gerard Gallant say there are plenty of things to clean up. Barry Trotz would say the same thing, but you're not going to see 10 combined goals in another game in the series, is my guess. But the fact that teams would typically feel themselves out, feel each other out in the first game of a final. Remember, they haven't met Super Bowl Sunday and only played twice in the regular season. There seemed to be a very brief feeling out process, if there was one at all. They were full tilt right from the start.
Dan Duva is our guest. From seeing the physicality of the playoffs so far, and when we talked to you during the matchup against the Kings or the Sharks, looking at this team coming off the Winnipeg series, how physical is the Washington Capitals roster compared to Vegas's last three opponents?
Yeah, I think that you've got some physicality in spots, but top to bottom, it's not the most physical team the Knights have seen. The Knights have a great way of taking away a team's speed and a team and an opponent's physicality by the way that they play. They can challenge you with your speed because they can get in the gaps. They have great sticks. They'll take away the speed of an opponent. But at the same time, the physical effort an opponent tries to bring, well, then they use their speed. So the Knights can handle different kinds of opponents in so many different ways. Part of that, JP, is the depth, the balance, that you can have different weapons in different spots, and there's an occasional tweak to the lines, like Alex Tuch moving from the second line to the third line. You might think of that as Perron moving up to the second line. I think it's just as important to see Alex Tuch on that third line, which allows Cody Eakin and Ryan Carpenter to do a little bit more, and that's a more physical line to respond to some physical play from the Capitals. Point is that, no, the Capitals are not the most physical team the Knights have seen in the postseason, but the Knights have handled speed and physicality the same.
I would think the Capitals will play their best and most intense game of the year in Game 2, because if they lose, they got to win 4 out of 5 against not only the Knights, but Marc-Andre Fleury, who's a legend in this game. What do you think we should look for? What should be different when it comes to the energy perspective and what the Capitals are up against in Game 2?
I would think you'd see the puck on Alex Ovechkin's stick a bit more often. You know, I usually get a feel for who's having an important role in a game based on how often I use a particular player's name. And I didn't say Ovechkin's name as often as I would have thought last night. It doesn't mean he didn't have an impact on the game. He has found a way to do a lot of good things in this postseason, even if it has meant not putting up points. Oh, and by the way, he did have an assist and now has 23 points in the postseason. That's not the point. I just think that when you've got a Conn Smythe candidate in Ovechkin, when your team is down 1-0 in the series, remember back against Columbus early on in the playoffs when the Capitals faced a 2-0 deficit against the Blue Jackets. He was a catalyst. He helped the team get right back into it. So I think you'll see more of Ovechkin. I think you'll see a sharper Braden Holtby as well. And I think you'll also see a Marc-Andre Fleury for that matter. It seems to me that the goaltending was a bit rusty in Game 1 as well.
Dan, finally, for those who were not in the building last night and for our national audience, what's it like now? What did you notice differently with the show, the entertainment, the NHL media, everyone following this sport globally, the Russian contingent coming in on the Ovechkin side? How big of a deal was it going from the Western Conference Finals to the Stanley Cup Final from a media perspective?
Yeah, there are a lot more people, media types, in the building than there have been at any point this season. That includes the first game of the year. That includes festivities of non-hockey sort, and certainly in the playoffs. And there were broadcasters from China, from Finland, you mentioned Russia. there is so much media that is here, and even including American media and Canadian media, national prominent media folks who have not seen T-Mobile Arena in person, have not seen the Golden Knights play in person, victim of the supposed East Coast bias, big media markets back east, you don't have too much primetime air for Vegas, and so you don't have the big broadcasters or big writers come out here. They got to see the team in person. They got to see the show that is the Golden Knights in person. T-Mobile Arena and the Golden Knights staff were on point, and I think it's neat to see the people outside on Toshiba Plaza watching the game on the screen, those thousands outside replicating the crowd inside. More people were in their seats when warm-up started than normal, and it was almost full. Ryan Carpenter pointed that out after the game. There were so many people in the bowl when warm-up started, and the show is fantastic. It truly is Vegas. You know, there's a hockey game that is the front and center, but they make sure at every available moment to make it a show. So the media is seeing all of this for the first time, and that's the chatter in the press box. Those media types seeing this for the first time and trying to process what we've seen all year, they see for the first time. So it's kind of cool to observe and listen to those reactions.
Thank you, Dan. Continue to enjoy the ride. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, JT. Anytime.
You got it. Dan Duva, voice of the Vegas Golden Knights. We're going to turn that interview around and play it again for the national show coming up probably in the next hour or so. And it's a great story. People who are late to the party on this, when you wake up every morning, today was dominated by Roseanne. Roseanne and her tweet. So her television show was canceled. Hundreds upon hundreds of people lost their job because Roseanne couldn't control her thumbs on a tweet. So I woke up to that today, and it's just dominating the news. And then I switch over. Let's see what everybody else is talking about. LeBron, 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 LeBron. Well, there's got to be some hockey. He's get Stanley Cup. No, no, no. They barely touch it. I've had a chance all week to be down at the Bellagio. Steve Levy's in from ESPN, who's a friend along with Barry Melrose, and I bumped into them a few times. They get it. ESPN used to carry the games on television. Now they only talk hockey during SportsCenter. It's the job of the rest of the media to understand the importance of this historic moment because it's that historic. If we thought that Buster Douglas was going to beat Tyson, we would have covered it in Japan. No one covered it because no one saw it coming. I repeat, hockey in the 1980 Winter Olympics were on tape delay or it wasn't live. And then they went to that championship game, the Russian game, everything that happened, because no one expected it. Team USA wasn't supposed to beat the Russians and then go on to win the gold medal. So that moment was lost. But everybody is going to cover LeBron James because they think LeBron is the greatest of all time, or might be, and there could be some history here. The history is in Las Vegas, Nevada. T-Mobile for an expansion inaugural hockey team that now is trying to do something never been done before. Oh, and when you talk about those old, old, old expansion teams, when you went from 6 to 12 teams, give me a break. The 6 new teams were in one conference. One of them was going to make it. There's no achievement there. You basically started a new league. When you went from the original 6 to 12, that was like launching the AFC off the NFC. Someone was going to have to win. So this is very rare, very unique, and we're playing hockey into June. So this building, as everybody's running around this building going, okay, hey, new spots, new commercials, hey, new reads, here we go. It's because people are gravitating to this story, which is really refreshing. And Lotus Broadcasting getting the deal to be the official broadcast partner of the Vegas Golden Knights. That's something. We have a little kind of a light museum in the building for some historic moments in radio that has happened in the history of this company. Bobby, they're going to have to build the new wing to put all the banners in and everything that's happening here. Matter of fact, we got a big empty spot on this wall. So if the Vegas Golden Knights are listening, anything would be appreciated here. But let's wait and see what happens over the next 2 weeks, because I have a feeling, Bobby, the Vegas Golden Knights will come in this studio with something nice for this wall if all things go the way we think it's going to go. All right, rest of the week, we got hockey on Wednesday, Saturday, and then you have to expect more hockey into next week, obviously, unless you're talking sweep, and you don't want to go there. Win game two, and go from there. JT on the flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Radio.
No, I think when you're this deep into the playoffs, you got to have four lines playing. You can't rely on our top lines all the time. You know, they play a big shutdown role against a good line over there, so we got to chip in whenever we can. And, you know, today we did a good job.
Ryan Reeves. What about that story there? We'll get into that all week long. JT here, and I got to let you know about a product that has changed my life. It's called MyPillow. With my travel schedule, I haven't been a great sleeper my entire life. I found the greatest pillow of my life. It's incredible. I wake up feeling refreshed. One pillow, and you can wash it, you can clean it, you can throw it in the washing machine. It comes out perfect. And let me tell you about this. It could save you money. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the four-pack special and type in the promo code BRICK. And you'll receive two premium MyPillows for the low price of one and free shipping. It's time to get rid of those old flat pillows, those stained pillows, the ones you have to use two or three, and you have to turn over in the middle of the night. 100% machine washable, dryable, and it comes with a 10-year warranty. Oh, and the best part? It's made in America. To get two MyPillows for the one low price and free shipping, go to MyPillow.com and click on the two-pack special or call 800-945-7379 and use the promo code BRICK. That's 800-945-9379, promo code BRICK, to get this unbelievable offer. So we got game two coming up tomorrow at T-Mobile. Again, as Frank was in here and Dan Duva talked about the early start again, puck drop will be somewhere between 5:10, 5:20, whatever it is. Keep it here to Fox Sports Radio for your in-depth team coverage of the road to the Stanley Cup. One game down, three more victories needed. That's a big deal. The whole city's behind it. Get behind it and enjoy this incredible, incredible ride. Thanks to Golden Entertainment for sponsoring the show. All of our new sponsors coming on deck, and Bobby Machado, who runs the radio show. I haven't worked with Looney for about 2 weeks. Looney and I back right here in about 6-7 minutes. Stick around.